Welcome back. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. That is what Tommy Wirtz is saying about Charlie and I right now, who is the host of the Leadoff Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, getting ready for Brewers baseball coming up here at the top of the hour, 90-minute pregame show. Going between now and 6:30, Reese Hoskins talks to the media this afternoon. We'll hear from him as he will be out to mid to late August, according to reports. We'll hear from Pat Murphy before today's Brewers game as well. Austin Herdania from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook does his daily parlay pick. He'll be on the show today. Andrew Wagner, Forbes Sports Brewers writer, he'll join the show today. He's down at American Family Field. So a full show for Tommy Wirtz. But Tommy Wirtz is absolutely disgusted. Disgusted by Charlie Usen and I for considering, even thinking about, this trade that ESPN has put out. Having said that, I'm going to bring out one of my favorite guests. He is Sam Dykstra of MLB Pipeline. They updated their top 100 prospect list today, and we will get to that in a matter of mere moments. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB, as he joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. Good afternoon, Sam.
Good afternoon.
I don't know if you saw this piece on ESPN or not. David Schoenfeld, potential MLB trade proposals for Skeens, Acuna, and Buxton. They have one up there for Ronald Acuna for the Milwaukee Brewers, which is what we were talking about in the last segment. Now, I am going to tell you Ronald Acuna's contract before I read to you the trade proposal. Ronald Acuna is going to make, this is not in the article, we looked this up ourselves. Ronald Acuna is going to make $17 million this year, age 27 season. Next year, he's going to make $17 million. The year after that, a club option for $17 million. The year after that, at age 30, a club option for $17 million. And he is a free agent in 2029 in his age 31 year. So, if you were to trade for Ronald Acuna, which again, I don't think Atlanta will, but if they were to, you'd be trading, whatever it may be, for 3.5 years of Ronald Acuna at only $17 million a year. That seems like a steal of a contract. Would you agree, Sam Dykstra?
Yeah, I would. I know he's coming off the ACL, and he's had a history of ACL problems. This is not his first surgery. It's his second. I get it. This is a guy who can hit 40 home runs and steal 70 bags in a year and has been incredibly good this season. If Ronald Acuna Jr. is out there, you go get him. I said the same thing about Juan Soto a number of years ago.
Right.
It's like, if the deal is out there to be done, and I know it hasn't aged great because James Wood has looked great in Washington, but still, if the Padres were serious, and they were, they went out and got Juan Soto because you go get a good bat. Ronald Acuna Jr. is a good bat. The contract is great. I don't see any downside.
Okay. Now, ESPN, they have three offers, one from the Mariners, one from the Rays, one from the Brewers. Now, they end up saying Atlanta would take the Mariners offer over the Brewers, but this is what they put for the Brewers offer. Made, Luis Peña, Frelick, Logan Henderson, and Abner Uribe for Ronald Acuna. Now, they say they don't think Atlanta takes it because there's two 18-year-olds involved, and they don't think they want to wait for two 18-year-olds to develop, and there's no guarantee that either 18-year-old would actually turn out at this point. Charlie Usen, my producer, and I both, I think, agree that we would not trade both Made and Peña, but if you could substitute one of them, pick one of them with a Cooper Pratt or something like that, then I think I would be down to do such a deal for a Ronald Acuna Jr. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think any deal that's for Acuna has to start with Made and Mizorowski. I know that's tough to hear in Milwaukee. I like Luis Peña a lot. This deal's pretty interesting. I think if you put in Mizorowski, you might be able to edge past the Seattle offer that they have on the table here. I know that's not what you want to do. You want to keep the guys who are going to be helpful to the Major League team right now. Stealing away a Luis Peña from this deal and being like, oh, well, we're replacing with Cooper Pratt, it's not a one-for-one swap for me. I think you have to give up at least two of your top three prospects in this deal. That's Made, Peña, and Mizorowski. I just don't think that's going to get it done. I think you have to get those guys. And I understand the concern from ESPN. Again, all of this is hypothetical.
Correct.
Like, I don't think Atlanta's going to give up on 3.5 years of Acuna at that contract rate. And, you know, Atlanta should always try to be competitive no matter what. But I think the offer that's on the table already is strong enough and is still not going to get there. So peeling away one of those shortstops isn't going to make it any better or more palatable to the Atlanta side.
Yeah, Sam Dykstra, MLB Pipeline. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. Let's talk about the top updated 100 prospect list across Major League Baseball. Jesus Made is at number 8. On this list, of course, with the Carolina Mudcats. Some could argue that he is not having the same type of year as Luis Peña, both about the same age. Why Made at 8? Why Peña at 39?
Yeah, and then this is just a snapshot in time, right? Like, we updated the top 100 last week. Peña's got as much momentum as any prospect in baseball right now. If we put this out 2 weeks from now, he might be in the top 25 as guys fall down. I know he's dealing with a hand/wrist injury right now. Thankfully, it's not fractured. But I think it goes back to Made has better bat speed. It's some of the best bat speed in the minor leagues. He's a switch hitter. Peña only bats from the right, so he doesn't have that same split issue that Peña might going forward. Peña's added some strength this year. He's certainly hitting for better exit velocities, and that's coming across in the slugging numbers that he's putting together. They're much improved from where they were in the DSL. But I think Made is going to be a more well-rounded offensive package by the time both of those guys reach the major leagues. Peña is going to be somebody who, you know, can maybe threaten 12, 15 homers, but I think Made is going to be 20-plus, and that's extremely valuable up the middle.
Mizorowski still on this list, obviously. Now, we were talking about this earlier in the show. They're about to get Nestor Cortes back here. He's making his second rehab start with the Timber Rattlers coming up Thursday night. So he's getting closer to being activated. And unless they go to a six-man rotation, it would appear Mizorowski is the odd man out.
Yeah, it would feel that way. I would hope it doesn't work that way, but I think we've kind of had to learn from Logan Henderson, right, who's another guy we added to the top 100, who it felt like Logan Henderson was doing everything possible
yep.
for Milwaukee to keep him around. That fastball changeup combination was just exceptional. It's continued to be exceptional for Nashville, but they've just prioritized, especially as they're trying to chase down the Cubs, guys who have been there or guys who have elite stuff. Mizorowski has the elite stuff more than Henderson, but doesn't have the experience of a Cortes. So we'll see how things go, like counting on the pitching being exactly the same at right now as it will be when Cortes comes back. Could be a fool's errand. You never know what injuries could pick up. But if Mizorowski, I was there for his start against the Mets at Citi Field, where he lost command in, I think it was the third inning. That's the Miz we saw a little bit in Nashville and certainly at points before that. He has to be as sharp as he was in the first two outings if he wants to keep this spot. But the stuff is still there, and the stuff's always going to keep him in the conversation.
Isn't tonight a huge game for him? Coming off his first rough start in the bigs and then going up against the top two team in Major League Baseball that's lost four in a row and desperately trying to figure out a way to get a win here, having to face Ohtani and Betts and Freeman and the nerves and everything that goes along with it. Now, thankfully, they're in Milwaukee, but I think this is a big, big start for Mizorowski.
Yeah, and I mean, if you heard him talk after his last start, it was him saying, like, I just missed location. That's going to happen. I'm not that worried about anything. His velocity did dip a little bit in the middle innings, but again, that's something that's happened for him in the past. You know, I think now we're getting at the point where the adrenaline is starting to wear off. You know, when we saw him pumping 102, it's like, okay, that happens sometimes when you're making your first or second start. Now you're supposed to just be there. You've earned your spot. You've earned your starts. That adrenaline's going to go away a little bit. What kind of pitcher can you be now? And you mentioned who he's going to be facing, but like, who's on the other side is Clayton Kershaw, which is a heck of a pitching matchup. I know this isn't Clayton Kershaw circa 2012, but like, it's still a really good pitching matchup. How is Mizorowski going to answer the bell? I think we're going to be able to tell here. And the biggest thing for me is what kind of adjustments is he going to make the second time through the order? You saw Brandon Nimmo hit that home run off him the second time up. You know, guys, once they start to see his stuff a little bit more, they can make adjustments at the major league level. Can Miz adjust back? I think we're going to get some answers tonight.
All right. The other thing, Sam Dykstra, is Cooper Pratt. We were talking about Joey Ortiz earlier. He got sat for the last couple of games. He's supposed to be back in the lineup tonight for the Brewers. Pat Murphy, none too happy at him with his approach at the plate or whatever the case may be. and was trying to send a message. And we were just saying, there's nobody close that he can even turn to if this isn't going to work, because Monasterio isn't going to scare anybody into thinking he's going to keep a job at this point. So they're going to have to go back to Joey Ortiz, no matter how miffed they may be about something. Cooper Pratt sitting down there at AA. He's 44 on your list. What do you project him to look like the rest of the year? Does he maybe get a cup of coffee at AAA?
I don't quite see it happening this year for him. He's been better of late. I mean, if you look at his numbers the last 30 days, 317 average, 878 OPS. He's been walking more than he struck out. He's got 10 steals, no caught stealing in that span, but he's only got one homer. I mean, that's the, I think when we ask around about Cooper Pratt, you know, who can he be moving forward? It's a really good defensive shortstop. Somebody's going to put the ball in play. It's a pretty good approach. It's just the power isn't quite going to be there for him. Can he scratch out 15 homers a year? I think you want him answering that question.
So is he Bryce Terang?
I don't know if he... I don't think he's as athletic as Terang is.
Okay.
But yeah, it's kind of that similar... I think he's got a little bit more pop than Terang did at the same time. That was an even bigger drawback for Terang. So you move the sliders up and down between those two guys. I don't think it's a perfect comp. But yeah, I would want to see him get ample time at Nashville before thrusting him into that conversation in the second half. And this is just, you know, his age 20 season. I mean, he's still plenty young even for the Southern League.
Yeah, all these guys are plenty young. I mean, Made's 18, Pena's 18. Now, this next guy, he's been in the minor leagues for a little while, and he's coming off of injury and still trying to find his footing at AAA Nashville again. Jefferson Cuero, who at one point was the top prospect for the Brewers, the guy that is expected, or so we think, to replace William Contreras at catcher here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, he's been interesting to follow just because, you know, first game last year, goes down with the shoulder injury, 2024, basically all wiped out except for that one game. Was supposed to come back this year. Pat Murphy was supremely excited about him in the spring, even called him, he's my favorite prospect we've had in a while. I just really like the way this guy works. I think that speaks more to Pat Murphy and what he values in a player and having him in the clubhouse than anything. But we've known Cuero can be a really good defender behind the plate. But then he had a hamstring injury that set him back even more. And since he's been with Nashville, he's slugging just .313 in 21 games. So the sample's pretty big now. You would want him to be hitting for some impact here. Now, he's always going to have a decent floor because of the glove work, and his arm is especially really strong behind the plate. But they've kind of protected him at times, got him a lot of DH opportunities. So he's not fully back yet, I think, in terms of is he able to catch 5-6 days a week. And then the bat just continues to be a question for us coming off all that missed time.
The last guy on the list, as you mentioned earlier, cracking the top 100 for the first time, Logan Henderson at 91. I thought I had saw that he's getting beat up a little bit here as of late at Nashville. Where do you think he slots into a major league rotation?
I think he could be a pretty comfortable number four. I mean, the reason why he was outside our top 100 coming into the year was he was somebody who hadn't thrown more than 81 and a third innings in a minor league season. He's dealt with some injuries over the years, and then having a fastball and a really, really good changeup. And it was, I've gotten plus grades, I've gotten plus grades on the changeup. It's always been exceptional for him. Sometimes guys like that can overachieve in the minor leagues because you don't see that level of changeup at high A, at double A. But now that it's working as well as it is at triple A in the majors, and yes, it's been a little bit of a step back the last few outings for Nashville, but I'm not overly concerned about that just yet. The control has been there in general for him on the year. I think he could be a number four for a really good team, like somebody who gets a start in an LCS situation. Is he going to have a Mizorowski ceiling? No, and that's why we rank them differently. But he could be a steady presence so long as he stays on the mound, and so far in 2025, so good.
Is there another pitching prospect that we don't talk about in this farm system that, you know, isn't Mizorowski but has the potential to be one of those frontline guys that might be a two in a rotation to Mizorowski that is somewhere in this farm system that, you know, doesn't get a lot of play because they're deeper in the farm system but has the stuff, maybe the makeup to maybe be that guy?
Yeah, somebody I'm keeping an eye on is Bishop Letson. Now, he hasn't pitched in a few months, but he was an 11th round pick back in 2023, signed for way above slot, around $482,000, basically because they wanted to talk him out of going to Purdue. He fell down a little bit coming out of Indiana. But it's an above-average fastball, above-average slider. He's still only 20 years old. He's turning 21 in September. He's got size at 6'4", but his listed weight is 170 pounds. So you can imagine him adding velocity. I mean, coming into the year, it was around 92 to 94. And he had a slider 79 to 83. I think Lettson is somebody who could follow that path. I'm not going to ever say somebody can be like Mizorowski. Mizorowski might have the best fastball in baseball right now. And then when you're buzzing in mid-90 sliders, there just is no comp for him. But I think Lettson could be, the more he gets on the mound, you know, he's at high A now with that projectability. We could be talking about him as a top 100 prospect this time next year.
So I got to know, is Jim Callis, does he just not sleep here for the next week or so up until the draft? Because, I mean, this is like his Christmas, I would imagine, once we get to having the draft every year. I mean, he is kind of like the Kuiper or whatever you want to call it for Major League Baseball when it comes to the draft.
Yeah, I got to give credit to him and Jonathan Mayo, who do our draft 250 list. I mean, working alongside those guys, I've learned something about my own work ethic and how crazy this time of year is. I mean, it's just, I'm going to be down in Atlanta with both of them this weekend. It's going to be a crazy time for prospects. The futures game is on Saturday. The first day of the draft is on Sunday. And day two is on Monday. And day two now is the rest of the draft. It's rounds 4 through 20. It is going to be an insane day. There's no day three anymore. So I don't know what Jim or Jonathan's coffee order is, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to learn it really well down in Atlanta.
So do you think, I mean, we got to think here in the next CBA, we're going to be able to trade draft picks at some point up and down, right? Like they do in every other dang sport.
I mean, if they had my input and if they had fans' input, I think that would be in the CBA.
I'll tell you, Matt Arnold, the GM of the Brewers, told me flat out in November he would just love it to death if they were able to move draft picks on draft day.
I'm sure he would. I'm sure a lot of small market teams would love that. They could just acquire draft capital, especially the way the Brewers work in getting guys in and then developing them exceptionally well. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a lot of moves for draft picks. I haven't heard anything about that being on the horizon. I think it would generate a lot more interest if we were, especially with the draft now in July, just weeks before the trade deadline. Back when it was in June, it would have been a little bit tougher to make deals. But like, what if we were talking about somebody like Sandy Alcantara being moved for draft picks on draft night? I think lots of people would tune in for that. And not only that, it would just make for fascinating trade exercises. So we'll see. I'm hopeful that comes down the line soon, but I haven't heard anything directly just yet.
I can't wait for it to happen. Then people are really going to start following the draft more than they do already, probably. Sam Dykstra at MLB Pipeline. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.